25.
Wait, Mark, what are you really doing?
Contain the dog food.
Seriously?
You know how expensive imported dog food is? I gotta make sure this lasts until month end.
Don't be stingy with Fluffy's food. I told you to stretch your dollar. Buy Robert's or Vitapet dog food. It got in the same thing as them other brands, but it's less expensive.
Save money and support local with Robert's chicken and rice and Vitapet dog and puppy food from Vitamin Pet Foods.
Fluffy's so smart. Watch. The rain falls on the
roof.
See?
All right, and with that, let's go right on over to Gail Hunt and say a very good evening. Welcome to Animal Craze. Gail?
Hi, good evening. How are you doing, Gregson?
I'm not too bad. This wet weather favors me.
Yeah, I love this weather, actually. I think it's really, really nice. We need it. So I'm glad that we've had this rain, and it's been lovely and cool as well. So I'd like to say hi to our listeners and any new listeners as well. Welcome to Animal Craze. And I just wanted to clear something up that somebody had said to me last week. They said to me, oh, I always thought you were white. They said that you sound white. So I just wanted to say that I'm black. I'm dark skinned, actually, or some would say melanated, whatever. And my mom is from Barbados and my dad's from Jamaica. So my roots are very much Caribbean, but I was born in England and I've lived in Barbados for quite a number of years. So I just wanted to get that cleared up.
All right.
So that people, if they were thinking. So yeah, this afternoon, I'm expecting two other guests, actually. I'm not sure if they're in the waiting room to come in. We're expecting Kirsten Anderson and Louise Mitchell. We've actually got Diane with us at the moment. So can you see them? Great. Okay, brilliant. So this evening we've got something really exciting, I think. We've got the St. Vincent. Barbados is going to be partnering with the island of St. Vincent and the Grenadines. So I'm so excited about that because it's nice to find out what's going on in the other Caribbean islands in terms of animal welfare, what they're doing, how they're doing it, that kind of thing. So I'm really, really excited about that. And we've got two organizations who will be talking. So we've got the St. Vincent SPA, which if you think of our RSPCA, you get an idea as to what they're about. The only thing is they're not a shelter. They operate at a different level. So Kirsten Anderson will be talking about that. And we've also got a lovely lady called Louise Mitchell. And Louise is with the Environment Fund in St. Vincent and the Grenadines. So I'd like to say welcome to all of our guests. How are you doing? You have to unmute.
Yes. Very well. Thank you, Gail. Thank you for having me on today.
You're more than welcome. And I do realize that you were doing some marine diving or something as well, Louise, and you just literally dashed to be on this show. So thank you so much. Diane, I know you were trying to speak, but you were actually muted, so you need to unmute yourself.
Okay,
don't worry.
Can you hear me?
Good. Yeah, so welcome to Animal Craze, Diane. And Kirsten.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Kirsten, are you with us?
Yes, I'm here. Hi, Gail. Hi, everyone.
Hi. Good afternoon. I'm fine, thank you. It's lovely to have you with us. So we're not going to, because time's clicking on, and you'll be surprised how quickly it goes. And we've now got Louise as well with us. So once again, a very warm welcome this Sunday afternoon. And I'm going to go straight into it by introducing our first guest properly, which is Kirsten Anderson. And she's the founder and president of the St. Vincent SPCA. And Kirsten, I'd like you to tell our guests a little bit about your background, so they can learn something about yourself, the work that you do with animals, and also why you set up the SPCA.
Absolutely, Gail. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Okay, I apologize, I'm not on video. I'm having some connection issues, and usually when I'm off video, the audio is stronger, so play with it throughout the show.
Yeah.
Thank you for having me. It's a pleasure to be here, and we really appreciate, on behalf of the Vincentian Society for the Prevention of Cruelty to Animals, or the VSPCA, being mm-hmm. here and being able to speak to your guests in Barbados and all over the world. So as you said, my name is Kirsten Anderson. I'm the co-founder and current president of the Vincentian SPCA. And I am clearly not Vincentian by my voice. I live in the United States, actually out in California. And I was a Peace Corps volunteer in St. Vincent and the Grenadines from 2011 to 2013. And I had just finished graduate school at the time. And my service in St. Vincent was really focused on community-based organizations. And I was living central leeward, just outside of Barrelly in a small village called Kirtans. Right. And, you know, commuting to and from town every day for training for a few months. And then my community assignment was in Kirtans. And I had a really supportive, or still do, Peace Corps country director, Mr. Cool, Cuthbert James, who's incredible. Big shout out to him if he's listening. And he is also an animal lover. And I was having a really hard time, you know, being a visitor to St. Vincent. It's so beautiful. It's one of the most beautiful places I've been to, the people, the environment, the water, the air. Yeah. But it was such a stark contrast to see so much suffering every day to and from, you know, Barrelly to town. And then, of course, once I lived in Peter's Hope area, and I couldn't stay. I couldn't stay and not do something. And support came from Mr. Cool, and he put me in touch with the late Dr. Colin Boyle, who whose daughter Anique is now a great partner of ours. And he just started talking to other Vincentians who had had ideas and who had expressed concerns in the past over how animals were treated. And long story short, you know, it was a few emails, and we set up some in-person meetings and decided to form a nonprofit. And that was August 2011 that we were incorporated. So we're just coming on our 11th year, and it's been a wild ride. And here, well,
congratulations with that. That's a long time as well.
Yeah, it is. It is.
That. Yeah, and what I love about that as well, Kirsten, is that you were able to, because sometimes we see things going on around us, but we don't act. It takes a lot of effort and a lot of will and a lot of determination, you know, and to actually get these kinds of things off the ground. People look at it from the outside and they think, wow, you know, that's great, but they don't realize the tremendous hard work that goes in. So can you tell us about, in terms of the hard work, the team and the volunteers that help you?
Yeah, and that's a great characterization. Hard work is accurate. So we've got a core board of directors, of course, president, vice president, secretary, and treasurer. We are actually having our annual general meeting this afternoon, shortly after this call. So we have a VP and secretary position open, and we have some great nominees, and our members will be voting on that. And that's our core board. And then we have two other directors, one who oversees our visiting vet program, and another who director and advises on veterinary practices and policies. And then the heart, the soul, the muscle behind all of what we do is our ground team, of course, headed by Miss Janice Nelson.
Who's hi, Janice.
And she and Jean. Hi, Janice. We miss you. She couldn't be here today, but she's always here in spirit. She and Jean location, which serves dual purpose, both for monthly clinics. So spay, neuter, vaccine happen usually once a month, if not twice a month. A bit of a pause now until Janice gets back working with us. And we also have that center also being a community education center where we host summer camps and, you know, kids come and visit and drop off donations, socialize with animals. So it's a lot of hard work. And the most challenging part is that, you know, we're kind of split operationally with our board kind of being in the States. Most are in St. Vincent, but it is challenging to not physically be there and supporting our incredible ground team with all their work.
So a lot of your work would involve kind of like coordinating and overseeing certain things and maybe looking at new ideas and ways to help the organization function, the functional side of it, making sure that everything comes together.
Correct. Yes. Yeah. A lot of strategy and the fundraising and the kind of the bigger vision besides the day-to-day operations.
Okay, then. So what you had mentioned was your volunteers. So what I'm going to do is speak to Gregson and see whether or not we're going to be going into a break soon because of the time. I know we've got to get certain amount of breaks in, but then when we come back, what I'd like to do is speak to the volunteers, Diane in particular, and find out exactly the crucial critical role that the volunteers do play in terms of helping the SPA fulfill its obligations and functions and helping people and helping their animals. So we'll be back with you, Diane, after this short break.
Thank you, Gail. Just a reminder that Animal Craze is brought to you with the kind compliments of Roberts Manufacturing.
23, 24, 25.
Wait, Mark, What are you really doing?
Contain the dog food.
Seriously?
You know how expensive imported dog food is? I gotta make sure this lasts until Montfair.
Don't be stingy with Fluffy's food. I told you to stretch your dollar. Buy Robert's or Vita Pet dog food. It got in the same thing as them other brands, but is less expensive.
Save money and support local with Robert's chicken and rice and Vita Pet dog and puppy food from Vitamin Pet Foods.
Fluffy's so smart. Watch. The rain falls on the
roof.
See?
Back over to you, Gail.
Okay, thank you very much. So welcome, Diane. And how are you?
Thank you, Gail. Thank you so much. I'm doing great. It's lovely to meet you.
And you as well. I understand that you're quite new to the VSPCA. So tell us a little bit about your volunteerism, what you do.
Well, I've been doing this for about approximately 1 year now. Wow. And it all started because I seem to have acquired a lot of strays personally, and right. they keep multiplying.
When you say strays, what do you mean?
Stray cats. Yeah, they keep venturing into my apartment, and I don't chase them away. I keep feeding them, and they keep coming back for more. So at one time, I had up to 15 kittens running around my apartment. So I needed to get them fixed and spayed. So I started going to the clinic, taking the cats one by one, and I'd just stick around and volunteer. And then I realized that they desperately needed people like myself to pitch in and help. So it just seemed like the natural thing to do, just to keep going back and back each time they have clinics.
That's great. So tell us a little bit about what kind of things you do. So it started really from a need, really, to you can see what was going on in terms of the population of the cats. So yeah. From what I'm understanding then, that there's the same as in Barbados. We have programs in Barbados where we're doing neutering in Spain of animals to help to keep the population down. Is that the sort of thing that you're now involved with the BSPCA?
Absolutely, yes. It's all with the aim of keeping the animal population down. We don't always find nice fuzzy homes for them to go to. You know, that would be great. But a good percentage of the animals would probably end up being wild and wouldn't get the care and attention that they deserve and need. So that's basically what we do. It's quite interesting, actually. And it's lovely to be involved, welcoming the customers in, as I call them, bringing in the animals, reassuring them. There's so many people come in, burst into tears because they're not sure what's going to happen to their animals.
Yeah.
And giving them that reassurance that we're going to take really good care of them.
Yeah.
And going through the entire process.
Okay. I'm hearing you speaking. I'm also hearing Gregson speaking.
Likewise.
And I'm also hearing my chickens. So I'm just trying to keep my attention focused because I can hear you speaking as well. I don't know if you realize.
Yeah. So I've been involved in a variety of functions during the clinics, you know, from greeting the customers, taking the animals from them, going through the registration process, going into the room, helping the vets. Sterilize their equipment, bring it back on time, caring for the animals as they come through their recovery, calling the customers back to pick up their animals. So I've gone through the whole process time and time again.
But you're really involved then. So you're not only helping on a practical level, you're also helping on an administrative level as well.
Yeah, I try my best to do that.
Yeah, you're multi-talented. And I can see that we've got a very young volunteer that's joined us. We've got Liz Oliveira. Hi there. How are you doing? It's nice to meet you. Welcome to Animal Quiz. Okay, then. Well, you joined us a little bit late, so you haven't missed a lot. What we've done is we just really, Kirsten's just kind of explained the role that she played in helping to set up the VSPCA, and she's talked about the kind of fundamental work that you do. And I was just speaking with Diane about the critical role, because with any organisation, especially NGOs and NPOs, at the heart of it is the volunteers. You know, many of these organisations would not be able to do what they do without your help. So first of all, thank you very much, a big shout out. And how have you been involved with the VSPCA?
Well, I've been involved since December of 2020, and I would usually help out at the clinic where I would walk the animals, feed them, interact with them, take pictures and stuff for the page. I really enjoy doing it because, you know, there's nothing, one of the greatest joys is to see a dog happily wag their tail or a cat purr in the light, you know, it's like, it's heartwarming.
Right, yeah. So you're not at school anymore, though. You look like you're at school. You're still at school, you're an adult.
I'm a university student, yeah.
All right. What are you studying at university?
I'm doing a joint major in business and IT.
Okay.
No, I'm not doing veterinary, so.
Oh, really? That's fabulous. No. That's really exciting. I just want to say to Gregson, I don't know if you can hear me. Can you, Gregson?
Yeah, I can hear you. Speaking. You can hear me?
I keep hearing
you say you can hear me, but there's nothing in here that says you should hear me. There's nothing on this board that says you should hear me.
I'm trying to keep up, you see, because I'm trying to listen to Lise, but I can hear you speaking, and then I can hear my chicken outside. But it's all good.
No, you can hear me on the phone as we speak. You can actually hear.
We could. Yes.
Yeah, we're gonna have to look into that because. Oh my goodness me! All right. Well, you carry on smartly. I will get off the phone so I don't confuse you. I'm wondering if our listeners can hear because there's no reason why you should be hearing.
It's one of those technical things. We're on a live radio show, so you know these things can happen.
All right, you carry on smartly.
Can you repeat what you last said? That you, at university, what are you studying again?
I'm studying business and information systems.
Okay, wonderful. And you were talking about your volunteering work, like Diane, you're very passionate about it. What's the part that you love the most about volunteering?
I think that would have to be, you know, going and playing with the dogs. Like,
okay. Right. Yeah. And I understand that the VSPCA is not a sanctuary. It's not like a place where you can go and visit animals. So when you interact with the animals, how do you go in? Is it in the community? Is it at the neutering clinic? How do you get to interact and help the animals?
Well, we do have a headquarters or so where we do house animals, like a shelter.
Okay.
So, yeah, when we go in every day and help the animals, you know, clean up, feed them, give them water, make sure they have human interaction with toys and stuff.
Okay, so are these animals that have been abandoned or surrendered?
Yes, most of them have had, let's say, a hard life, and we take them in and get them better. And hopefully someone will adopt them or they go out on one of the flights, stuff like that.
Okay, because Kirsten was saying at the beginning of the show that one of the things that kind of galvanized her into action for helping to set up the VSPCA was that the level of animal cruelty that she was seeing in St. Vincent. How is it now we're in 2022, how is it now, Lise? Have you seen an improvement since the organization has been set up?
I won't say an improvement per se, but it's definitely made a difference.
That's important. That's what matters, isn't it? Okay, then I wanted to hop back to Kirsten quickly. Kirsten, we've met our volunteers, and I know that you have lots of others as well. I just wanted to find out again the primary, because we heard about the spay neuter clinic, but what other things does the VSPCA do specifically?
Gail, I'm having connection issues. That question was for me. Could you repeat it?
Sure. If you have your camera on, maybe turn it off. Sometimes that helps. You had touched earlier on the work of the VSPCA, like when you talked about how it was set up and, you know, the team, the volunteers. I just wanted to find out the core things that you're focused on at the moment, the bulk of the work that you're doing.
Absolutely. So a big part of what the VSPCA is focused on is preventative services. So the whole reason we were created is because of the rampant overpopulation and subsequent abuse and neglect, because there's just so many animals and not enough homes for them. So we do monthly clinics, spay neuter, or as people say, tie off, as well as vaccines, general health and welfare. We have two veterinarians. We work with Dr. Pipe and Dr. Jack, who come in and assist with that. And then we also have our volunteers, and we also have a a great blossoming partnership with the medical school on the island and some of the students there who help out with nurse for surgeries as well. And then we also have our education program. And once Janice gets back in full swing, we'll be doing more community outreach as well as continuing summer programs at the school. And that's kind of our core programmatic work focused on prevention. But of course, there's a great deal of cruelty and neglect in the country. And any chance we have to speak with police, to speak with law enforcement, to speak with government ministry officials, we are always looking for those opportunities to address it on a broader systemic level, the amount of abuse that we see and get reports of.
Yeah, I can totally relate to that, because here in Barbados as well, you know, a lot of the animal welfare organizations have met with, you know, different government departments, particularly the Ministry of Health and the Ministry of Agriculture. And the primary purpose really is to see not only the education, which is fundamental and critical, but also to see the laws that we currently have in force. And, you know, I just come off of a meeting earlier today where we were talking about this same thing. And the resounding kind of like agreement that we, common kind of ground that we all found, was that oftentimes the laws are there, the laws themselves are not, you know, the laws are fine, but it's the enforcement of them. And also, how do you enforce them? You know, for example, say a dog has to be removed from the property, what's going to happen to that dog? You know, why the trial's going on, what's going to happen to that dog? So we do need to have some kind of like strategic something put in place in Barbados. And I'm imagining, Kirsten, it must be a similar thing in St. Vincent, where the laws are there, but it's the actual enforcement. How do you enforce them? What kind of steps have you made in that direction so far?
Well, a large part of it comes down to just building awareness amongst law enforcement. That we have the 1947 Protection of Animals Act, which people don't seem to realize. And even though we have this law, you know, to your point about, well, what does it look like to enforce it and carry out a trial and hold animals as evidence and have veterinarians speak to traumatic injuries? I also, you know, the calls that we get, people make reports to us. And we're happy to receive those reports, but really and truly, unless they go to their local precinct or jurisdiction and make those reports themselves, nothing is going to happen. And there's a large fear of retaliation amongst people speaking up in their communities.
I can understand that.
So they're hesitant to speak up because either A, nothing happened because nothing's happened in the past, or they put themselves or their families at risk. And of course, human life is of more value than an animal life in their mind. So why put their family at risk? It's just a multi-layered challenge.
It is, because the system needs to be in place where it can protect people that are actually going to be doing the reporting. Now, we had a really serious case last year with a Barbados green monkey that had been, it had been burned alive, all right? I just say it blunt. And what happened with that case is the Ministry of Agriculture themselves and the Royal Barbados Police Force, as it was then called, they actually did the prosecuting and took the the people to court themselves. So in that way, anybody that had reported it, had been involved, they were out of the picture, you know? And I think that's how it needs to be, that people are able to kind of like anonymously report animal abuse, but then the authorities take it from there. Once they've got the evidence, they take it from there, because that way it protects people. But even then, you still have to see how you go about it, because if you live next door to somebody and, you know, their dog is being abused and you report it anonymously, then the people might know it's you. Do you know what I mean? So I don't know. It's a very tricky one, and it's something that really we need to kind of like, same as in St. Vincent, Barbados, we're constantly working on to see how it can be more effective and how it can work better. But I wanted to hop over to Gregson now, because I can see him typing away and looking at me. And I'm assuming that it's time for another one of our
short breaks. Yes, correct.
And then when we come back, I'd like to speak to Louise Mitchell, because she's been waiting patiently, and welcome her to the show.
And yes, someone did confirm that they could hear me on the telephone. So for that, I'm sorry. But like I said before, you should not have been hearing me. There's nothing in here that suggests that you should have been hearing my voice on the telephone line while you were speaking. We'll have to look into that. But anyhow, we've rectified that. We've gotten off the telephone. And yes, you're correct. Roberts Manufacturing is making this animal craze very, very possible for you to hear on the Voice of Barbados, 92.9 FM.
23, 24, 25.
Wait, Mark. What are you really doing?
Contain the dog food.
Seriously?
You know how expensive imported dog food is? I gotta make sure this lasts until Montfair.
Don't be stingy with Fluffy's food. I told you to stretch your dollar. Buy Robert's or Vita Pet dog food. It got in the same thing as them other brands, but is less expensive.
Save money and support local with Robert's Chicken and Rice and Vita Pet dog and puppy food from Vitamin Pet Foods.
Fluffy's so smart. Watch. The rain falls on the
roof.
See?
Okay, it's back over to Gail and her guests.
Thank you very much, Gregson. And it was fine you talking. We couldn't hear exactly what you were hearing, but we could just hear a kind of like a murmuring. So don't worry about it. So, yeah, with no further ado, I'd like to say hi to Louise again. Hi, Louise Mitchell. How are you doing?
Hi, Gail. I'm fine, thank you.
Right. Thank you. Can you hear the chickens clucking in the background as well?
I'm hearing everything.
Honestly, I don't know why they're starting. So now I've got a hen out in the garden that's sitting on eggs again. And she's got all of the roosters around her. So I really do apologize for that. But such is life in the Caribbean islands. All right. So Louise, yes, please begin by telling us a little bit about who you are and then tell us about the Environment Foundation, what it's all about.
Okay, well, before I tell you who I am, I first want to say that the VSPCA has been doing a fantastic job in St. Vincent and the Grenadines, and I want to personally commend Kirsten for her commitment and dedication, mm-hmm. not just to setting up the organization, but ensuring that it becomes an institution with life in perpetuity. The VSPCA in particular did wonderful work during the time of the volcano eruptions, when a lot of the animals were left stranded in the red and orange zone, and the VSPCA went into emergency mode, and they did an absolutely fantastic job on the ground. And I really want to congratulate Kirsten for that.
Yes. Thank you.
So I've been working in the environment field in St. Vincent for about 20 years with many different organizations, starting out with the National Trust. And in 2015, I founded, together with Brian Adams and Ben Goldsmith, a philanthropist from the UK, the St. Vincent and Grenadines Environment Fund.
Right.
And the purpose of this fund is essentially to try to ensure that there's a continuous funding source for environmental projects on the ground. So we were founded in 2015, and one of the first projects we undertook was to lobby for a ban on the killing of sea turtles.
Okay.
Because at that time there was an open season and a closed season, but there was an open season when sea turtles could have been killed. So we actually brought in from Barbados, Carla Daniel from the Barbados Sea Turtle Project. She came to St. Vincent and she did various community consultations.
Wonderful.
And based on the great work that she did with us, we were able to work together with the government to introduce a ban on the capturing of sea turtles, which came into effect on January 1st, 2017.
That's absolutely awesome. And so, I'm really, really pleased that Carla was able to come out and, you know, to have that partnership.
She was really wonderful.
Yeah.
She came and she met with communities and, you know, she spoke about, you know, the love Barbadians have for their turtles. And she said, you know, how do you think it's fair? You know, I protect my turtle on the beach. I make sure my turtle is fine. And my turtle swims over to St. Vincent. You go and you kill my turtle.
Carla's wonderful. She has a way of communicating with people that is very engaging. And she gets her point across in a very good way. Yeah.
And, you know, the ban was actually well accepted. Because, you know, the case obviously was easy to make because the hawksbill are critically endangered, the leatherbacks are vulnerable. So the science supported the ban. And it's been remarkable to see the comeback of sea turtles in the water since then.
You're now
seeing turtles swimming around in Admiralty Bay in Bekwe. And I mean, you know, you haven't seen that for over 30 years.
Wow. So it's nodding, so she's agreeing.
She's probably actually seen them swimming somewhere where, you know, maybe when she first came to St. Vincent, she would not have seen them. So it's really remarkable to see that nature can recover if you just give it a chance.
That's so true. And I know you're talking about the turtles. Can you tell us about the foundation in terms of the different areas of conservation that you're working then? Can you elaborate on that?
Well, we protect, our focus really has been on protecting biodiversity and on threatened species. Most of the work we've been doing has been in biodiversity conservation and protecting vulnerable species. That's been the bulk of the work has been there. We do have a mandate to do work in sustainable energy and other areas, but most of our work has been somehow tied to restoring biodiversity.
Okay. So when you talk about endangered species, we have the turtles, Louise. What other species are you referring to for our listeners?
Well, one of the big projects that we did was to protect the Union Island gecko. There's a very tiny lizard, which is very beautiful. It's just a couple inches long. Yeah. And the only place in the world you can find it is in the Chatham Forest of Union Island, which is the southernmost Grenadine island. Mm-hmm. So the forestry department brought to our attention the fact that these lizards were being poached and being sold on the international pet trade market for about $1,200 for one. So we worked together with forestry department as well as Fauna and Flora International, and we were able to work with the government to have the species listed as an endangered species that the trade in this was prohibited. So we had it listed on the CITES, which is the international treaty that protects the trade of endangered animals. So so the Union Island gecko now has that level of protection.
That's and
so
incredible.
So we funded Fauna and Flora to do a lot of the work, and they partnered with the local group on Union Island, the Union Island Environmental Alliance, and working with them, that organization is headed by a great environmentalist, Rosamund Adams. And so together they did a lot of work in the Chatham Forest, and in working towards the preservation of the gecko, obviously data collection is always critical to see what is there in the forest. So a lot of great research and studies were done. And in the process, they discovered that there's an iguana in the southern Grenadines that is a new species, the pink rhino iguana. So we're now looking to get that protected as well. And again, it's only found in one part of the world, is in the islands of the Grenadines.
It's absolutely amazing that it's so good to hear this incredible work that you ladies are all doing to help not just our domestic animals, but also our wild, our wild and endangered species as well. And
yes.
It's important and because everything. Yeah, go ahead, Louise.
There are also some species that are data deficient where we don't know if they're endangered. But you can tell just from observation that you don't see them as much as you used to. For example, whales and dolphins. You might know that there is a whaling industry. There are two different whaling industries in St. Vincent.
Uh-huh. Okay.
We have the whaling industry of Bekwe, where they are allowed to kill 4 humpbacks a year, and that is regulated by the International Whaling Commission. But then there's the unregulated whaling in the town of Barrily, which is near where Kirsten, right near where Kirsten lived when she first came to St. Vincent. Yeah. So that whaling town, they have an unlimited quota. I mean, there's no quota for what they take. So they kill short fin pilot whales. But of recent, they've started killing dolphins of various different species of dolphins as well, such as the spinner dolphin and different species of dolphins, which is quite worrying. So one of the projects that we had was that we funded 2 former whalers from the town of Barrily. We assisted them in setting up whale watching operations.
Yeah.
Because we're trying to promote a transition away from whaling to whale watching. So we actually found persons from the community that wanted to get into wildlife tours, and we actually financially assisted them either in getting engines for their boats or in one case actually getting a full new boat for someone. So they now have whale watching tours operating out of the same whaling community. And we're hoping that as they become successful, people will see this as a natural alternative to whaling.
Thank you. I want to thank you. You know, there are a couple of points that I want to bring up. First of all, I'd like to thank you for the tremendous work you're doing. That is absolutely amazing. And, you know, thank you to the team as well that's working with you. Now, in Barbados right now, we've got our migrating humpback whales. They were just seen in the north point of our island up in St. Lucie, and they come every single year with their cast to our warmer climate. And I'm so thankful that here in Barbados, that's not an issue for us, you know. The only thing that we have is we have to warn people that when they're on this small class, not to get too close, because when they come and visit, and they come every year, they're here now, but what happens is people get very excited and they might want to go out and see them. So we have to like advise people not to get too close. But what you were saying about having the whale watchers, that struck a chord with me, because it's very similar to what's happening in Africa with the rhinoceros. You know, they've been hunted to extinction, and we're losing them. So a lot of the poachers now, because it's all about money and making a living, we know this, all right? The trophy hunting, they just want the trophy, but the people who are involved, the small man, it's about them trying to make a living. So what they're trying to do now, and they're doing the same thing in India as well, in different parts of the world, it's exactly the same as what you're talking about, Louise, is to switch it around so that the people can still make a living, but they're not going to make a living through the murder of these animals that are so special to the planet. I mean, to me, it sounds actually absurd that anybody would want to even hunt a humpback whale, you know, the dolphins and so forth. And when it's unregulated, that's even worse. I really do hope that the St. Vincent government actually looks towards kind of working with you more in getting these regulations in place, because it's a turn off for tourism. You know, yes. When tourists learn about these kind of things, back in the day, it was all right, but now, when you hear about Japan with their whaling industry, it's very kind of like it's not something that people are really tolerating anymore. I think more and more people are becoming educated of the fact that there's another way, we don't have to do that. Now, you had mentioned, Louise, about the volcano, which is something I wanted to speak to Kirsten about and both of you, because I wanted to find out how the animals. I mean, we can begin with you, Kirsten, if you like. We can begin with the kind of work that you were doing with your team of volunteers and staff in terms of coordinating the relief effort, the people that were involved to help you. Because I know that it was, 10 months ago, around not that long, really, that it happened. It affected us in Barbados. We had the volcanic ash. So I can't imagine what it must have been like out there, and the effect on the people and the animals. So this is an animal show, so we're going to keep it focused. So tell us about what you were doing to help the animals.
Before she answers that question, yeah. Gail, let me just interrupt for just 1 second and remind all the listeners that Animal Craze is coming to you with the compliments of Roberts Manufacturing.
23, 24, 25.
Wait, Mark, what are you really doing?
Contain the dog food.
Seriously?
You know how expensive imported dog food is? I can't make sure this lasts until month end.
Don't be stingy with Fluffy's food. I told you to stretch your dollar. Buy Roberts or Vita Pet dog food. Ain't got any same thing as them other brands, but it's less expensive.
Save money and support local with Roberts Chicken and Rice and Vita Pet dog and puppy food from Vitamin Pet Foods.
Fluffy's so smart. Watch. The rain falls on the
roof.
See?
Go right ahead, Gail.
Okay, go ahead, Kirsten.
And try to unmute myself and stay on video. So we first started seeing reports of volcanic activity actually around the new year, 2020, 2021. Okay. And at that time, I had reached out to the chief veterinary officer, Dr. Hackshaw, in the Ministry of Animal Production and Health Division, just to kind of, yeah. Hey, you know, this is going to happen, it looks like. I know that your focus is primarily livestock, but what plans are in place for companion animals? Because not just they're suffering and what's going to happen to them, but a lot of people refuse to leave because of their animals still being right. In the red zone. So knowing right. This is coming up, I do disaster response here in the States with animals. So I'm learning, but had a good kind of ground knowledge. Okay. The first volcanic eruption started on April 9th, and it continued through April 22nd. And our team was in the field 4 days a week, 12 to 14 hour days for 6 months straight. Two wow. times leeward, two times windward. We installed and created feeding stations because we knew with our bandwidth and our personnel resources, we wouldn't be able to be there every single day. Okay. We knew the suffering was great. We knew that animals were starving, dehydrated,
suffering physical trauma, psychological trauma, and people up there were suffering as well. So the thing I'm most proud of is that we knew we would be, like, our niche area were companion animals, but there were other community groups that were already ingrained and knew that community, knew the farmers, knew the issues, knew the roads, that we partnered with strategically. And we learned how to work with these groups so that we could serve the cats and dogs, yes, but that the people were also getting the water and the food and the livestock were also getting the feed.
Yeah.
We supported farmers. We supported pet guardians. Our team was incredible. And it was 6 months straight of intense field work that I couldn't be prouder of. Big shout out to Kenneth and Nick, who are our primary field responders. And of course, Janice and the HQ team holding it down with some animals that came into our care because of results of the volcano.
Yeah, I mean, we were following it closely from Barbados. I know the Barbados Veterinary Association certainly tried to coordinate something that they could send over to you. We had, like, collections and so forth, but there's nothing like, you know, being in the thick of it. And I know, Diane, you were one of the volunteers that were actually on the road driving through the ash. So
I didn't make it, I didn't actually make it up to the red zone, but the day after the eruption, I tried to go to the shelter to help feed the animals that were housed there.
Oh, bless you.
Yeah, it was dreadful.
Yeah, well, I imagine it would be.
And once we got to the shelter, there was dust in your eyes, dust everywhere, you couldn't see. Yeah, it was really hazardous. But, you know, I tried my best on that day just to help Gannis a bit.
Yeah. And as Kirsten said, I mean, one of the things is that a lot of people don't want to leave their animals. This is why I always say that, you know, the government authorities need to really take animal welfare seriously, because it does impact people, you know, because God forbid we have something happen in Barbados, you know, a serious natural disaster. You know, a lot of people are not going to want to leave their animals, you know. So we do need to have things in place strategically to help people. And I don't know where we would be without organizations such as yours. And also the kind of organizations that we have here in Barbados. Again, we talked about this today in another meeting where I was speaking with people. And one of the things we were saying is that when you're helping, it's not just about helping the animals, you know, it's about helping the people as well, because often the two things are intertwined. When we go out into the community, and this is not in all cases, because animal cruelty and people not being able to take care of the animals has different, there's different variables, different reasons behind it. But oftentimes people are suffering in general and they don't want to let go of their pets. So it's a strong indication sometimes that you can see a person's level of their economic, you know, how they're managing economically in terms of how they're living and how their animals are as well, along with the education. So that's really important to get across. And Kirsten, again, it's the same as what Louise said, just tremendous work that you all are doing, you know. I know you can't save every animal. I was watching with interest as well, because you mentioned about the livestock. And another, that was a huge, massive amount of work. There was horses that had to be, a few horses that had to be moved out of the red zone and stuff.
A great credit to Ministry of Agriculture. You know, livestock were really their niche area. And one of our community-based partners, Richmond Vale Academy, Stina Ehrberg, is the executive director, and she had a lot of horses on the leeward side that she was transported down. The main purpose of the VSPCA was to provide feed for farmers to them directly through our community-based organizations so they could feed their animals and keep them alive, which is their livelihood. But
Absolutely, exactly like
you said, Gail, and kind of an organic tagline that came out of the disaster is, when we help animals, we help people. And when we also help our earth.
Yes, it's all connected. I believe that. It's all connected. It's not separate at all. And the more we realize this, the better for all of us. So Louise, in terms of, like, your work with the Environment Fund during this, you know, this natural disaster that we had last year with the volcanic eruption, how are you impacted, and how did the Environment Fund get involved in helping?
Well, we basically, I mobilized the organization immediately. We, you know, as the day of the massive ash fall, I was on the road immediately. Essentially, the first thing that we did was that we bought food for persons in shelters, because what happened is that the government hadn't provided for food for persons in shelters for the first 2-3 days, because the emergency plan was that persons are to walk with food from their homes for the first couple of days. So it took a couple of days before the government agency NEMO mobilized to get food to the shelters. So basically the shelters for the first couple of days were fed by organizations such as St. Vincent and Grenadines Environment Fund and countless other organizations and individuals. So for example, we adopted Girls High School, the shelter at Girls High School, which housed mainly persons from Georgetown. So basically just bought a lot of food for them, as well as a lot of clothing, etc. So what happened is that a lot of our existing donors, when they heard about the eruption, they just started sending in, they just started donating money. So we were lucky that we had considerable resources to spend just looking. So we primarily focus on looking after people, but we also bought animal feed and organized deliveries into the red zone. Even before we were supposed to be going there,
so
we mobilized quickly. We were very lucky. We actually got donations from the Barbados Community Foundation as well, which is an organization that Sir Paul Altman is involved in. So they gave us quite a bit of money. So initially we looked after food and clothing for evacuees. We helped evacuees in shelters as well as in private homes. And then as time progressed and persons started going back home, we started buying vouchers for hardware stores and actually giving out vouchers so persons could go and buy whatever they needed, you know, whether it was to buy a piece of galvanized to fix a pig pen or whatever they wanted.
Yeah, so a lot of stuff would have been damaged.
So that's what we did. And in fact, you know, the volcanic eruption was, you know, it was a disaster, but it was also a time where everybody in the community came together. And to be honest, that is the first time I ever spoke to Kirsten. I spoke to Kirsten for the first time during the volcano eruption, because there were synergies with things that the VSPCA was doing and that we were doing. And so, we connected through that work, and that happened a lot. And persons were so generous to the Environment Fund during the time of the volcanic eruption that we actually got funding, not just to help immediate needs, but to help with longer term restoration of the forest. So one of the things that we're able to do coming out of the special monies we got in during the volcano is actually to restore the Cumberland Nature Trail. Because what happened is that when the volcano erupted, the parrots flew from the red zone into the sort of orange yellow zone. So there was a migration. So there's an area where the forestry noted that there were more parrots, and they wanted to be able to access that forest so that they could monitor the population. So they mentioned the fact that there's this trail there that really should be restored. So we took on that project.
It sounds like a lot of good came, even though it was a disaster, and we wouldn't wish anything like that to ever happen again. At the end of the day, it was also an opportunity for you to kind of, like you say, see how people can come together.
You really got to see how resilient communities were. And, you know, everybody just, you know, put on their water boots and, you know, hit the road, and just everybody pitched in. So it was a really special time.
I mean, we talked about, and I'm pleased that you mentioned about your local foods program as well. That's important. We talked about how Barbados has helped, but other islands were also involved with helping you guys out. So it wasn't, I mean, I'm glad that Barbados was able to, you know, but other islands, what other islands did you partner with during that time?
Well,
just to echo Luis. Mm-hmm. Go ahead, Luis. I'm sorry.
No, you go ahead, Kirsten. You go ahead.
Just briefly, just to echo what Luis said, the synergy and the amount of communities coming together near and far on and off island was beautiful. And I mean, it just speaks to the resilience and the heart and the strength that Vincentian people have for the love of their country. Briefly, the VSPCA is in tremendous gratitude to all of our neighboring islands. St. Lucia reached out, government and nonprofit organizations reached out. Grenada, Barbados, even as far as Guyana, Trinidad and Tobago, we had donations coming in from the States, from Canada. People were reaching out, asking how they could help. One of the biggest challenges with disaster management, disaster response, is that people want to send physical things, and the last thing we need is stuff. We need funds to buy food locally, to support the local economy. So people were really generous with their funding towards the GoFundMe account, raised over $45,000 after all of our taxes and fees were admitted. But 100% of that went right back into our programs and operations for volcano response. And we were able to buy food locally for the local economy and get that food out to the animals and the people who needed it. So it was incredible to see people coming together.
Yeah, it's wonderful. We are kind of like a nation in itself, actually, our Caribbean islands. And like you said, we do know when how to pull together when we have to. So I'm glad to hear that you mentioned the other islands and also Canada and America as well. That's great. Louise, you wanted to say something as well on this?
I had a similar experience. We had persons reaching out from different islands assisting us as well. And often it was just individuals, actually, who's, you know, who actually heard about my work and said, well, we don't want to give to government. We see you're actually going around and delivering stuff and doing things. So, you know, a young lady from St. Lucia called, and she actually, you know, paid the grocery, you know, made the direct payment to the grocery store, and I went and collected it. So, yeah, so people from all the world, the Caribbean and the wider world reached out. And
okay, Gail, let me just interrupt you, Gail, before you pose another question to your panelists. We just have two more messages from our sponsor here, and we want to take care of one now before we get into our last segment. So let's take care of this one and come right back to you. Compliments of Roberts Manufacturing.
23, 24, 25.
Wait, Mark, what are you really doing?
Counting the dog food.
Seriously?
You know how expensive imported dog food is? I gotta make sure this lasts until Montfair.
Don't be stingy with Fluffy's food. I told you to stretch your dollar. Buy Roberts or Vitapet dog food. It got in the same thing as them other brands, but it's less expensive.
Save money and support local with Roberts Chicken and Rice and Vitapet Dog and Puppy Food from Vitamin Pet Foods.
Fluffy's so smart. Watch. The rain falls on the roof. See?
We're going into our last segment of Animal Craze. Just a reminder, this program can be heard again on Tuesday evenings at 7 on our sister station, The Beat 104.1 FM. Gail?
Yeah, thank you. I just want to remind our listeners that our guests today are from the St. Vincent VSPCA and the St. Vincent and the Grenadines Environment Fund. So they're two different organizations who have two different kind of mandates, but they have been collaborating together, particularly during the volcanic eruption last year and the island of St. Vincent. Now, Lise is the volunteer that we were speaking to earlier, and I didn't want you just to be sat there quietly. To hear your voice again. So I just wanted to hear from you regarding that we're talking about the volcanic eruption. Were you involved in that kind of like helping out and getting involved with rescuing some of the animals?
As for that aspect, I was mostly involved with help in the shelters.
Okay.
The human shelters. I couldn't really go out on the expeditions to go and feed the animals on a different side of the island because I suffer from asthma and stuff.
Okay.
That would have not been the best environment.
No, it would not have been. And each of us has our role and our part to play. You know, everybody, because Diane was talking earlier about how she was multitasking, doing administrative things, you know, like making sure the client, or she calls them the customers, you know, calling them, checking in on them, as well as working directly with the animals. And what seems to have come out from our discussion on this is that it changes people. Yeah, when people see the kindness, because they may never ever really have been involved with the Environment Fund, for example. But when they see persons from that organization coming out to provide food with them and following up afterwards just to make sure that they're okay, and people sending in funds, it really shows a different side to humanity, and one that we very much desperately need to remind ourselves about, because we often want to see the negative about everything. And we need to see that we need to also see the beauty of people, you know, how people can come together and how we can be changed and how we can build these connections internationally well in terms of what we're doing, you know. So Diane, you're there smiling.
I'm still here.
I can see you smiling away there. Was there anything that you wanted to add, because we haven't got much longer? I just wanted to find out the overall goals with Kirsten of the VSPCA, but I wanted to have some final words from you.
I could speak from a volunteer point of view. Really rewarding. You know, sometimes I wake up on Saturday mornings and I really fancy a lion, but I get out of bed and I show up. And I'm glad that I do it. And I can't see myself stopping anytime soon. You know, even though I have a busy lifestyle, I make time for it because I think it's important to take care of creatures, people who are less fortunate than yourself. The animals can't care for themselves. They need us. They need our love, our compassion, our kindness. And I'm happy to do it. Yeah. And so I'm appealing to other people to step up. That's what we need. We need other people to fill other roles. And it's very, very fulfilling. It's very rewarding.
It's very important as well, in terms of even for our own mental health, to be doing this kind of things. You know, it's selfless type of work. And I find that when you give of yourself in this way, you get something back. You know, there's so much satisfaction, so much reward, and now that you're helping, whether it's people, animals, the environment, you know, planting trees, whatever you're doing. But we're going to be wrapping up. I just wanted to get some final words from Kirsten in terms of next steps. What are your overall goals for the future with the VSPCA?
We envision a world in the community in St. Vincent where animals are seen and respected and provided the resources and protection that they and every single sentient living being deserves. This next year is going to be a bit of transition. It's my last year serving as president if I'm elected by our members. And I have big plans for starting an advisory council. I'm so grateful that Luis will be serving on that, as well as other subject matter experts and professionals in the country and outside of the country to lend their expertise. The board is going to get stronger with more local leadership and more local involvement as well. And I can't thank Diane and Lisa enough for all of their amazing heart and support as volunteers and advocacy to bring others on as well. I started this organization 11 years ago. It's my heart and soul, but it's also not mine anymore. This is a Vincentian organization. It needs to be run by Vincentians and owned by Vincentians. I incorporated an organization here in the States, a 501c3 nonprofit that will be financially supporting the VSPCA. I hope to always be involved as I can, but this is bigger than all of us, and it's something that conventions need to step up to. Yeah. And we need support from local countries, other countries as well, because I think that we have a lot to learn from other countries and countries from us. But St. Vincent's in a really outdated space with its animals, and learning from St. Lucia, Barbados, other countries that are similar to St. Vincent, but perhaps more along that trajectory of where we want to be. There's a lot of opportunity to work closer together with ministries, with law enforcement, and with community-based organizations.
We're happy to collaborate as well. And I think what you said is very key, to get local people involved, because when you're involved, when it becomes personal to you, that's when it really begins to matter, and that's when you start to see even more change. So, some final words from yourself regarding the Environment Fund, any plans, goals that you have for 2022 and beyond?
Well, before I speak about the fund, again, I really want to commend Kirsten for the work that she's doing with the VSPCA, because it is so desperately needed. The work is absolutely so important, and the space that the VSPCA fills in St. Vincent, there isn't any organization that does that. So I want to commend her, not just for giving the personal sacrifice that she has over the years, but working so hard now to make sure that it is an institution that continues without her. You know, if we really love the institutions we work in, we always have to make sure that there's a succession plan.
I agree.
Because the goal is bigger than us, and I really commend Kirsten for doing everything really in the right way. And I'm really proud of the VSPCA, and I want to thank her for inviting me to be on the advisory council, and I look forward to filling that role and finding a way to make my contribution to the VSPCA. And I must also mention that it's my daughter Ty who started as a volunteer working with the VSBC, who had kind of really got me committed to the organization. It was through my own, my 14-year-old daughter. Well, oh, she just turned 15, actually. In terms of the Environment Fund, it's a very exciting year for us. In 2022, we just launched a baseline assessment study of the fisheries in St. Vincent and the Grenadines, partnering with the Ministry of Fisheries and the Blue Marine Foundation out of the UK. So it's really exciting that we get to work with the government and to help them in gathering data, to which hopefully will inform them to enable them to ensure that our fisheries is a sustainable one. So that's a massive project that we have ongoing right now. We have Blue Marine Foundation persons here now, and they're partnering with local conch divers and local recreational divers to assess what fish and conch, lobster, etc. we have in our water. So that's a very exciting program that we have going on, and many other such programs. So really, it's just a year where we hope to, you know, just continue our work. We're in a good position financially because people were so generous because of the volcano eruption. So we also are building the new Cumberland Trail now, and we actually have a architecture competition, which we've opened up to Barbados, because I don't know if you know, but we have a sister organization in Barbados called the Barbados Conservation Trust. So we've opened up the design to Bajan Architects as well to design four bridges, a zip line, and a parrot lookout platform.
Exciting! Oh gosh, so you have to keep us updated with that. I'd just like to we've run over time actually, so I really would like to continue, but we're going to have to, like, us ladies have to kind of collaborate and talk again in the future, near future. But I want to say thank you all for being guests today in Animal Craze. And I want to commend you all for the tremendous work you're doing in St. Vincent in terms of helping animals and also helping people, and also getting local people to be involved in helping themselves. And that's a form of self-empowerment, which is so important locally and regionally as well. Because, you know, like attracts like, and we can all kind of like motivate and inspire one another. I certainly have been inspired to continue my animal welfare work by listening to you. So I'd just like to say thank you once again, but we have come to the end of the show. So until next week, Gregson.
Yes, thank you, ladies. Thanks to Gail Hunt and all of our guests this evening. Hopefully she'll have them back again at some point in time and we can carry on the discussion, but we are really out of time. So Gail, thank you so kindly, and to your guests as well. Have a wonderful evening. And let us remind our listeners, it came to you, Animal Craze that is, with a kind compliments of Roberts Manufacturing.
23, 24, 25.
Wait, Mark, what are you really doing?
Contain the dog food.
Seriously?
You know how expensive imported dog food is? I can't make sure this lasts until Montfair.
Don't be stingy with Fluffy's food. I told you to stretch your dollar. Buy Robert's Orvita Pet Dog Food. It got in the same thing as them other brands, but it's less expensive.
Save money and support local with Robert's Chicken and Rice and Vita Pet Dog and Puppy Food from Vitamin Pet Foods.
Fluffy's so smart. Watch. The rain falls on the
roof.
See?